If you'll take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, I love it when the Lord confirms what His will is, and He will do that for you. When you ask the Lord what His will is, what He wants you to do, and you're not quite sure what to do, and the Lord just lets you know, I had two messages. I wasn't quite sure which one to do. So I went with the one I thought that I was supposed to do, and the Lord confirmed it just with the last song. Because the last song talked about, obviously, the chorus, God leads His dear children along. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to look at how the Lord leads us along in the wilderness that we sometimes find ourselves in the wilderness. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to read verses 1 through 10. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, the Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the days You brought us through. Thank You, Father, for just, Lord, always letting us know what Your will is when we seek You for Your will and we want Your will to be made known so that, Father, we can walk in the center of Your will. Lord, I ask that You would just bless Your people tonight. Thank You for the songs that we've sung. Thank You, Father, that we know that, Lord, You do lead us. And, Lord, there's nothing we have to ever worry about. Sometimes You do lead us into the wilderness, but it's for a reason. And, Lord, it's obviously to glorify Yourself. It's to work in our life. It's to help us to continue to grow in our faith, helping us to see that our God is great and mighty and there's nothing impossible for Him and that, Lord, You truly do love us. Father, I ask that You would bless the children and Kid Venture, Lord. I pray that they would have a good time with the games. Lord, open up their hearts to the Bible lesson. Allow the Word of God to take root in their hearts as well as our hearts tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, according to verses 2 and 3, there are times where God leads His people into a wilderness. Sometimes it's a physical wilderness, sometimes a spiritual wilderness, and sometimes it's both. If we think about the children of Israel, they had refused to go into the promised land. And God was going to have them walk around the wilderness for 40 years. And just even coming out of slavery, they had to kind of wander around and they had to be led by the Lord. And they had to learn by faith to follow the Lord. But I want us to understand tonight, there's sometimes where God truly does lead us into a wilderness. And more often than not, we do want it to be because it is something that He's doing in our life, not because we've caused the wilderness in our life. Again, the children of Israel caused the wilderness in their life because they refused to go into the promised land when Moses brought them to it and the 10 spies turned the hearts of the people away from the Lord. But tonight I want us to see that there are times where God does lead us into a wilderness, physical wilderness and a spiritual wilderness, so that he can do things in our life, so he can continue to purge sin out of our life, continue to conform us into the image of Christ, and show us that God truly is our God and truly wants us to grow in our faith. And even as he says, if you look at verse 2 and 3, the Lord says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. God makes mention, he's the one that led them for 40 years in the wilderness. And he goes on to say, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So he led them in the wilderness to prove them, to try them, to see if they would keep the way of the Lord, to keep the word of God. In verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, all of us face wildernesses at different times in our life. We all find ourselves in a wilderness. And what is a wilderness? It's a place of uncertainty. It's a place that you're not quite sure what direction to go. You're not quite sure why you're there. You're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure if you're going to find your way out. But if I can say this, if God is leading you, you'll find your way out, because God's the one that will lead you out. But God is the one that leads us into wilderness sometimes physically. Again, they were physically in a wilderness for 40 years, and spiritually, because God had to work in them to help them to grow in their faith, to help purge sin out of their life. And again, sin is anything that is against the Lord. Sin is anything that will cause us to lose hope and faith in the Lord. Sin is anything that will cause us to walk away from the Lord. It's contrary to the Lord. And the Bible says that unbelief is sin. All right? But you think, you know, sometimes the Lord gets us to a place because it's not that he hates us, but because he loves us. I was visiting somebody in the hospital today and trying to remind them and help them to understand the love of God. Because, you know, when you find yourself in a hospital bed facing surgery, that really gets you to thinking. You start thinking about your life. You start thinking about things you did in your life. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll start even allowing the thoughts of the devil to take over our mind and cause us to think that that God doesn't love us, that we're being punished for something I did years ago, when the Bible clearly teaches that God is the forgiver. When God forgives us, he remembers no more as the east is from the west. I mean, God removes our iniquity as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. There's times we find ourselves in a wilderness. Why am I in the hospital? Why is this going on? Why am I facing this in my life as a child of God? Tonight, I want us to be reminded that in the wildernesses that we will find ourselves in, that we will also find gifts from God. Because again, if God is leading us, then there's a reason, there's a purpose, and there are gifts that we can find. There are encouragements that we can find even in the wilderness. Again, I want you to look at verse number 2. The Bible says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You know, life is like a wilderness. We don't always know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't always know what we're going to do. We don't always know the answer to our problems. But one thing as a child of God that we can remember and that we can get encouragement from is that the Lord is leading us. Remember, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord did not save us to leave us. The moment that you called upon the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, that was the moment the Lord Jesus took residence up in your life and became your guide. Remember, he said it was expedient for him to depart so the Holy Spirit could come, but then he also told his disciples later that I will come to you. I mean, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that guides us. It's the one that watches over us. He's the one that will encourage us day in and day out. Again, if you find yourself or you know of another Christian that may be in a wilderness, maybe in a time of their life where they're not quite sure, you know, why this is happening, and they even struggle with their faith. They even struggle with, maybe I'm not saved because this is happening. This is going on in my life. Again, we live in a world where we do need the Lord and we need him to guide us every day, and he will, but we've got to keep our focus on the Lord. Tonight I want us to think about a few things in these verses in this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8, as the Lord reminds his people that he's the one that led them all the way. The first gift that we can find in the wilderness is God's voice. Is God talking to you? You hearing God's voice. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Keep a finger in Deuteronomy, but go forward to Isaiah chapter 30. Because sometimes we find ourselves, and again, there's different reasons why we may find ourselves in the wilderness. With life being so busy, and sometimes our schedules being so full, and not always just full because it's full of, you know, places to go and things to do, but just full of busyness. Sometimes the Lord wants to get us to a place where we are alone, where it's quiet, where we can hear his voice talking to us again. Because again, if you've ever been out in the wilderness, if you've ever been out in the desert, there's not a whole lot of noise out there. There's not a whole lot going on. It seems like life slows down. I just remember, you know, growing up in the South, growing up in Mississippi, and life was a lot laid back. Nobody was in a hurry. Even when they were talking, they're not in a hurry. But then when I moved to Wisconsin, I quickly learned that it was a different pace of life. In fact, I had to ask, the first time I went into a gas station in Madison, Wisconsin, I had to ask the clerk, what'd you say? Because they were just, to me, they were talking 100 miles an hour. And she was simply asking, may I help you? But I couldn't understand what she said because I just grew up in a different place. But there's times in our life where, again, we get so busy that we're reading our Bibles, we're praying, we're doing what we're supposed to do, but we're not hearing the voice of God. And God has a voice that he wants us to hear. In Isaiah chapter 30, if you're there, look at verse 21. Verse 21, Isaiah chapter 30, the Bible says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God desires to guide you in your life, and there's times where he has to bring you to a place where there's really no competition for his voice, where he can speak with his soft, still voice, and you're able to hear it because our minds are not cluttered. Our ears are not so heavy that we cannot hear the Lord. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, as the Lord spake to Moses, the Bible says the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness. You think about this, just even when Moses was on the backside of the desert, thereafter he fled Egypt after killing the Egyptian guard and he fleeing for his life. 40 years after being on the backside of the desert, God causes a bush to be on fire to get Moses' attention. And as Moses draws near to that burning bush, because it puzzled him that it was not burning up, it was not being consumed by the fire, that when he got close, the Lord spoke to him. There's times in our life where God needs to get our attention, and sometimes he has to remove us from the busyness of life. He has to put us in a place where we can actually hear him again and actually focus on him and get some direction in our life, some encouragement in our life. When you think about Paul, the majority, in fact, most of them, practically all of the letters that he wrote sitting in jail. God allowed him to be imprisoned so he could write letters of encouragement to churches and to individuals. There's just times where God has to remove us to a place that is a wilderness to help us to spend some time with him. It may be a hospital bed, because when you're in the hospital, you're pretty much there until they release you or until you're better to go home. And there's times just where God wants to. He wants to do great things in our life. He wants to help us to grow in our relationship. There's things that he wants to do that he has to get us to that place so that we can hear his voice, because God wants us to be sensitive to his voice. So his voice is a gift that we find in the wilderness, but also because we find his voice speaking to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. The second gift that we find in the wilderness is direction. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 15. I didn't read this. We stopped at verse number 10 for the reading. But when you look at verse 15, we find that the Lord gave his people direction. Again, when you go in the wilderness, unless you're good at direction and you have a compass and all this stuff and you're just good about being in the wilderness, you get out there and it's like, which way do I go? Which way is the nearest grocery store? Which way is the nearest highway? Which way will get me out of here? Sometimes in life we feel like we don't know what direction to go. Sometimes we find ourselves kind of wandering around, passing the same oak tree. Like, wait a minute, I've passed this 5 times now. I must not be going in the right direction. But God gives direction. In verse 15, the Bible says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. I mean, God provides in the wilderness, but he gives direction. There's times, again, where we find ourselves in the wilderness so that God can give us the direction, so that we can hear his voice again and get direction in our life. And unfortunately, sometimes God will use our health to get our attention. Again, it's not that God doesn't love us, but God will use anything he can to get our attention, to get the attention of his children, so we can get back on the right course, so we can get back to hearing God's voice. What does God want for my life? What does God want me to do while I'm here on this earth? What is it that God wants to do in my life? So again, the Bible says, who led thee? God's the one that leads us. God's the one that has the direction. We will make mistakes every day, all day long, if we do not rely on the Lord. Sometimes it might work out, and sometimes it may not. But I'd rather it work out all the time, because you know the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Again, when you think about Paul's life, Paul was in the center of God's will sitting in prison because it gave him time to write letters that the Lord wanted him to write that are now obviously, it's scripture. It's what we get encouragement. It's what we get direction from. It's what we can read the Pauline epistles and we can see God working and moving and speaking to his people and speaking to us as well. There's just times in our lives. So when you find yourself maybe in a wilderness, it can be difficult at first. It can be overwhelming at first. But we always have to remember that God is there. There's not a single place that God is not. Wherever we go, God is there. I want you to look at verse 3. Because God led them through the wilderness, but God also provided for them. In verse 3, the Bible says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Isn't that strange? The Bible says that God suffered his people to hunger. He made them hungry. Because you know what? There's times in our life where we can be so full of the things of this world that we're not hungry for the things of God anymore. He wanted his people to be hungry. They were physically hungry, but he wanted them to be spiritually hungry for them. Remember where he brought them out of. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of a place where they worshipped false gods. They helped build the pyramids. They helped build the worship places of the false gods. Because later on, you find them worshiping those false gods. When Moses is up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai for 40 days, the people build a golden calf. They get Aaron the priest to make a golden calf. They start worshiping a gold. Where'd they get that idea from? Back in Egypt. So God took them out of Egypt, but then God spends the rest of their life getting Egypt out of their heart. And that's what he does with us. He spends the rest of our life getting the world out of us. None of us are sinless. None of us are perfect. But the day that we'll receive our glorified bodies, then we will be perfect. Then we will be sinless. So God's always working us. It may not be that you're worshiping false idols, but there are things in your life and my life that God is working on. And there's times where God has to get us to a wilderness so that he can speak to us, so that he can give us the direction we need. And there are times where he wants us to get to a place where we're so hungry for him. We're so hungry for him that we don't know what to do. There in verse 3 again, it says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna." What a wonderful thing. If you were to go back and read the account of God's people being hungry and God raining manna down from heaven, angels' food, every day providing for them, giving them exactly what they needed. And this manna had all the nutrients they needed. They needed nothing else because it was given to them by God. God sustained them. God gave them the sustenance that they needed in the wilderness. Again, I think about, you know, Moses being on the Mount Sinai for 40 days, not once but twice. No food, no water. But yet he didn't die because he was in the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you need to go and fast for 40 days, but I'm saying is when God is moving in your life and God is providing for you, there's nothing to fear. There's just times where God will bring us to a wilderness so he can work in our life, so he can help us to be hungry for him again. "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live." Again, he brought them into a physical and spiritual wilderness. They were physically hungry, but the Lord knew that they were spiritually hungry. They needed to be spiritually fed. And we as God's people need to be spiritually fed by the Lord's word. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 48. John chapter 6 and verse 48, the Bible says, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Jesus says he was that manna, and he is the bread of life. He's the one that gives life, physically and spiritually. There's not a single person that has life without the Lord, but every single person needs that second birth. Every single person needs the spiritual life that comes from the Lord. So we find ourselves in a wilderness where the Lord allows us to hear his voice again, gives us the direction we need, supplies what we need physically and spiritually. But many times, listen, there are physical needs. There's a person in the hospital that needs physical healing. But more than that, today they needed spiritual healing. They needed to know that God does love them, that God has a purpose. The devil cannot steal your salvation away. There's times you find yourself in a wilderness and the devil's right there. I mean, it's an old cartoon thing, but you remember seeing those cartoons where, you know, the devil on one shoulder, an angel on the other side, and they're just going at it. Listen, when something bad happens, the devil's right there. Right there to lie and say, "Oh, you must have done something wrong. Oh, God doesn't love you. Oh, you're being punished. Oh, I'm going to take your salvation. You're going to lose your salvation." And what's the cause? Somebody who's already put their faith and trust in Jesus to start doubting their salvation. Now listen, doubting your salvation is not going to take your salvation away, but what's it going to do? It's going to rob you of your faith and your hope in the Lord. Now, thankfully, the Lord moved in this person's heart, and before I left, they had peace about it, all right? Because, again, if the Lord took up residence in your heart, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you in a hospital room to be tormented by the devil. But again, the Lord uses it to draw us close to him. He uses it to help refresh us spiritually. Look, if you would, at verse 15 again. Verse 15. "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought." I mean, listen, I would like it if God took away all the hardships. I'd like it if he took away the serpents, the scorpions, and the drought. Things that you have to physically face. Remember, people were getting bit by the fiery serpents, and they cried out for Moses to cry out to God to take away the fiery serpents, but God didn't take away the fiery serpents. But what he did do is give them a way of escape. He gave them a way to be able to live if they got bit by the fiery serpent, and that was Moses making that brazen serpent, putting it on a pole, raising it up, and the people were told, when you're bitten, Look to the serpent by faith. Look to the brazen serpent by faith, and you shall live. And many did, and many didn't. Because it sounds kind of foolish to a person to think, I'm supposed to look to a brazen serpent and live when I am, when my leg is on fire from the venom that has been put into my body. But that's the way sin is. Sin is venom. Sin destroys the body. Sin destroys the life. And the Lord says, look unto Jesus and thou shalt live, putting your faith and trust in the Lord. And again, there's times where we need to be refreshed in our faith, where I know I'm saved. Again, this person I was talking to, I just kind of went over them, went over some scripture about salvation, and they were, yes, Pastor, I am trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior, but they still were battling fear. They were still battling fear because they had been listening to the lies of the devil while they were sitting in the hospital bed. So there's not a single Christian who's not susceptible to the devil's attacks. But we have to remind ourselves when he does attack that I am a child of the King. And we even sang that song, a child of the King. All the devil can do to you is put in thoughts in your head, cause you to think things are not true. Again, there's times where, you know what, I need to be refreshed in my spirit. I need to be refreshed in my walk with the Lord. I need to be refreshed in my faith. I need to know that the Lord is there. I need to know that I'm not in this wilderness alone, that the Lord's with me, and the Lord will lead me through it. Remember, and go to Psalm 23. We all know Psalm 23, but look at Psalm 23. I mean, Psalm 23 is written by David, who experienced a wilderness in his life, and not just for a day. For many years, he was running through the wilderness, trying to escape Saul, who wanted to kill him. And yet in Psalm 23, we find this great psalm that many know. Many know this psalm. In Psalm 23, as David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide. He's my protector. He's my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack anything because the Lord is my shepherd. He's my provider. He's my protector. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's times where you need to be restored. There's times where you need the Lord to refresh you, to refresh your soul, because you've gotten to a place of weariness. You've gotten to a place of tiredness. You've gotten to a place of spiritual fatigue. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, as David says, that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And there's times where we need the Lord to help refresh our spirit, to help refresh our soul, and help us to get back on track, to get back focused with the Lord, back in tune to his voice, being sensitive to the voice of the Lord, and not just... Because you know what? Let me just say this. Even another wilderness is just going through the motion of Christianity. Just going through the motion of the faith. Well, this is what we're supposed to do. Just going through, supposed to read my Bible, supposed to pray, supposed to go to church, supposed to be good, supposed to, you know, be nice, be humble, forgive. And we can get to a place where it's just that. It's just, well, this is what's expected. But on the inside, there's no true love in it. There's no true surrenderance to it. There's no true walk with the Lord. And you get to a place like that, and I believe many people kind of just give up because they've lost their hope in the Lord. They've lost sensitivity to the Lord. Because again, it's a relationship. It's not religion. And there's times when we find ourselves in a wilderness that, okay, well, I know, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing, and we still don't find the help that we need. We still don't surrender to the will of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, just in life, we just, well, this is what it is, and we just, you know, we kind of go with it. But God doesn't want us to just go with it. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to help him or allow him to work in our life, to work in our spirit, to help us in the ways that we need to be helped. Again, in verse 15, he says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. And the Lord even mentions it was a great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, in drought where there was no water, absolutely no water to refresh them. Who brought thee forth water, though, out of the rock of flint, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. We are refreshed in the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give thee rest. And he talks, the rest he talks about is a rest unto the soul. Yeah, my physical body may need rest, but more than that, my soul needs rest. I need to be comforted in the Lord. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 27, they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I mean, there was a time where the Lord brought them to a place where they could have some shade and have some water from some wells, but then there was a time where there was no water, and yet God provided water out of the rock. Our refreshment comes from the Lord. Yes, our body needs refreshment, but our spirit needs refreshment. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can refresh our spirit. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring that comfort into our heart that we need when we're in the middle of a wilderness that God led us into. And in that wilderness, God does provide. God always provides. Look at verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4. Now, I mean, when you read through this, you just think, I mean, if you've ever traveled, kids always wear out. Unless they're good and they don't do anything and just sit around and don't play, kids wear out their shoes and pants. There was a time where my boys, one particular son just always wore his pants out. The knees just always ripping holes, just wearing the knees out from all the playing and all the diving and stuff. So, I mean, as parents, we know what it's like for clothes to get wore out just by using them. But notice in verse number 4, though, while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, hot, dry, dusty wilderness, the Bible says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God did not allow their clothes to wear on them. He didn't allow their clothes to wear out, but he didn't allow their feet to swell. You know, it's like for me, because I've got metal in my left foot, that when I stand for long periods of time, my ankle swells up because of it. Can you imagine 40 years of wandering in the wilderness day in and day out and your feet never swelling? No blisters, no nothing. That God just physically sustains you for 40 years where there's no physical ailment. There's nothing. Listen, there's times where God brings us into a wilderness to show us that he can still provide. We live in a day and age where anything you need, you can get. Whether it's from a government program, whether it's from family helping, there's not a single place that you cannot get some help from. And sometimes because of that, sometimes because we can provide for ourselves, we tend not to rely upon the Lord. I mean, honestly, when was the last time that you had to pray and ask the Lord to provide food? I just go to the cupboard. I go to the refrigerator. Now, many times the refrigerator's full, but I can't find anything to eat because there's nothing in there that I want. But like this, I've never had to a day in my life sit down and actually pray, Lord, I don't know where my next meal's coming from. Sometimes we get to a place where, you know what, we forget that our reliance does need to be upon the Lord. Now, he's allowed us to be provided for. He's allowed our refrigerator to be full. He's allowed the cupboards to have food in it, but we still need to rely upon the Lord. And there's times where if we get to a place of self-reliance, that the Lord wants to bring us to a place of a wilderness where we have to turn back to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm used to providing for myself, but now I find myself in a place where I don't know what to do. I can't I can't figure my way out. And the Lord speaks to us and says, good. Now you can listen to me. Because God's way is always right. And that, again, none of this, you may not be in a wilderness tonight. You may not be at a place where you don't hear God's word. But I guarantee you, you live long enough as a child of God, you'll find your place in a wilderness at different times, because God's always, remember, God predestinated us to be conformed into the image of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes that means getting us to a place where we recognize, I've been doing it all by myself and not relying upon the Lord. I have fear. Listen, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of love. I mean, in fact, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, because with the Lord's help today, someone realized that the fear was not of God, but of the adversary, of the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You ever find yourself being anxious? That's not of the Lord. God's given us a sound mind. He's given us calmness. He's given us of his Holy Spirit. There's times where we can work ourselves up by believing lies that the devil may be trying to convince us with. Or there's times where, you know what, maybe we have fear in our heart. Maybe we have doubt in our heart. And the Lord brings us into a wilderness to bring that out so it can be dealt with. Again, God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And God will continue to work on us until we see him face to face. He'll continue to purge sin out of our life. He'll continue to mold us into the image of Christ. And there are just times, again, where he uses the wilderness to do just that. Go back to Deuteronomy, if you're still there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And lastly, I want you to think about verse number 7. The fact is that in the wilderness, when there's no busyness, there's no competition of noises and voices, you can hear God's soft, still voice. And God will give direction. He will provide for us. He will refresh our soul when it's needed. But also in the wilderness, we get back to the place where our hope should lie. We get back to the place where we can see that our hope is in the Lord, not in our abilities, not in anybody, but the Lord. In verse number 7, the Bible says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, and fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. God says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. God always brings us out of the wilderness. God doesn't leave us in the wilderness. Remember, when the Israelites first got into the wilderness, when they first left Egypt, 3 days into the wilderness, they start complaining to Moses, has God brought us out here to kill us? And the answer is no. Because if God wanted to kill them, he would have left them in Egypt to die. But see, that's a lie from the devil. When things go wrong or things don't go the way we think or we don't understand, the devil wants to convince us that God wants to kill us, or he's punishing us, or he's left us, he's forsaken us. And it's not true, because if we read our Bible, then we find that God allows things in our life to purge sin out of our life, to build our faith, to draw us closer to him, so that when we come out of the wilderness, we're a lot closer to the Lord than when we went into the wilderness. You just see that over and over again throughout Scripture, but hopefully you see that even now in your own life, where you can look back and you can see things, wildernesses you've gone through, trials you've gone through, and you can see where it helped you to get closer to the Lord. Now, if you find yourself drifting away from the Lord, or you find yourself going through a trial, and you, at the end of the trial, you're no closer to the Lord, it's not because God didn't try to get close to you. It's because we didn't draw nigh unto him. Because the Bible does say, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. So the wilderness in our life that God leads us into is to help us to draw closer to him, not to move further away. And I just, as a pastor, I see it all the time. I see people that draw closer to the Lord, and I see people that kind of go the other way, and it's like, no, you want to go this way. You want to go towards the Lord, not away from him, because going away from the Lord's not going to help. It's not going to change anything. In fact, it's going to make it worse. So we want to make sure that we're drawing closer to the Lord, that whatever the Lord's doing in our life, that we allow him to do it while we seek him and while we continue to keep our hope in the Lord. Because again, he is our hope. The Lord is our hope. Again, there might be times where you may find yourself becoming fearful, starting to panic, starting to doubt. But remember, if you're a child of God, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. He's giving you of the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to comfort you, to remind you of the love of God. Because God already manifested his love at Calvary, and that was through the death of Jesus Christ, dying for our sins. When you think about, again, just the Lord, we serve an awesome God. An awesome God that loves us beyond measure. One who we'll never understand completely. We only understand what we see in Scripture. We only understand some things that God does in our life. But I'm glad the Scripture plainly tells us that he does care, that he does love you, that you're in the palm of his hands, and that the devil does not have authority over your life. And the fact is that Jesus Christ has the authority, and we find peace and comfort in him. So again, when you find yourself in a wilderness, just remember, look up. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. He's led you there for a reason. Draw close to him while he leads you through the wilderness. And when you get to the other side, you can look back and you can praise the Lord for leading you all the way. Just like the song we said, our God leads us all the way. Let's have a word of prayer.